start your day at 2 a.m. a bit late, but go to work.
Morning. Many of you will remember 45 years ago when you used to go shopping. Common scenario, you went to the local grocers, you queued up, there was a counter, the shopkeeper stood behind the counter with all his wares, fruit, vegetables and other things. You queued up, came to your turn, you went to the counter, shopkeeper asked what would you like, and used to pick off the items from the shelf, choose the vegetables, the fruit, and whatever, put it on the counter, tot it up, you paid him, and then it was the next person's turn. That's how it used to work. Nowadays, things have changed, and in most places, the customer chooses the items he wants, saves the shopkeeper the tircha of choosing, goes a little quicker, slightly more risky mitzad shoplifting, but that's the system today. So if we can understand the systems as it used to be, the shopkeeper chose for the customer the fruit and vegetables he's giving him. We still have that option today. For example, if someone phones up with an order or makes an order, then it's up to the shop to choose what he's giving to the customer. So we still have the metzias in a slightly different way. Now, in the Gemara, in Bava Basra Tzadik Gimel, and in Shulchan Aruch, in Chosh Mish Reish Chof Tes, there are halachas regarding the quality of fruit and vegetables. There is an allowance for a certain amount of rotten, moldy, wormy vegetables, and even mud mixed in, if it is normal. For example, if you buy unwashed potatoes, you expect there to be a bit of mud with them. So when the shopkeeper measured out the weight of the potatoes, he's actually charging you for mud as well. But it doesn't matter, because it's within the realms of the normal way of selling. So Chazal say, that's okay. He's allowed to sell pears with a few rotten ones, a few mold, whatever was the normal amount. However, once it's excessive, that the shiurim for each thing, what's considered normal, and it depends on what's nohug. Once it's excessive, then the shopkeeper can't, let's say it had too much mud. The shopkeeper can't say, I'll just remove most of the mud and the amount left will be the normal amount. No. Once, in Bo l'napes, l'napes hakol, the Gemara says. Once you have to remove some, you have to clear it out completely and have no unwanted part. That's the halacha in the Gemara. And also there's another din that the shopkeeper is not allowed to deliberately add wormy, moldy peiros or mud to it. Let's say he happens to have unwashed potatoes which hardly have any mud, much less than normal. He can't add a bit of mud to make it up to the normal amount. That's definitely asa. It's just that if it already has from the fields the normal amount, he's not mechuyev to separate it off if it's within the realms of normality. So, as I said, this can be relevant even nowadays in certain circumstances. However, when you go to a shop and the consumer is choosing the produce himself, then, l'chayra, there's much less of an issue for the shopkeeper to have wormy produce or whatever it is in the boxes or whatever, because the minhag is that the lekeach, the buyer, is supposed to be the one determining what he's buying. He can choose what he likes. He can take out the ones he wants and leave the ones he doesn't want. So then it's become a little easier for the shops. Also, the buyer. The buyer normally can't really complain. In the time of the Gemara, he can't complain to the shopkeeper if there's one or two moldy ones or wormy ones. Nowadays, it's totally the buyer's fault. Whatever the buyer wants to choose, he should take. If he doesn't want to take it, don't take it. Leave it behind. Fine. So there's an interesting din which is a toitsa, a result of this din. And that's like this. The Gemara says in Baba Basra Tadi Gimel on the base, Rabba Bachia Kutusvo, Mishmeidu Rabba, says, Haboirer Tsurur Migronesh Achaveiroi Noisen Leidimei Chitim. Which, as we've said, it's quite normal for wheat to have a bit of mud mixed in. When you harvest the wheat, it's going to have some mud. If Reuven goes to Shimon's produce and he sees some mud mixed in, and for whatever reason, whether it's self-righteousness or some other reason, he decides to take some mud out of Shimon's produce, then he has to pay Reuven the price of the wheat. Because Reuven was entitled to sell it as a mixture, because that's how it naturally is harvested, with the mud. And now by this person coming along and removing the mud, he's caused a loss to the seller. He won't be able to sell his wheat for as much money as before because it hasn't got the mud in it. And therefore he has to pay him the weight of the, or whatever it is, however you measure it, whether it's weight or volume, of the mud as a price of chitin. So there's very interesting shaila in the Rishonim exactly why this is. Some Rishonim learn this is Medina de Garmi. This is causative loss. Because really, what's he done? He's removed mud. Mud doesn't really have a value, right? Nobody wants to buy mud. What he's done is he's caused the owner not to make as much money from his chitim because the mud is now missing. And it's a definite loss, and it happens immediately, and therefore, it follows the criteria of Chayev Medina de Garmi.
Can I do that myself? If I'm buying the shop, I can knock off the mud.
So we'll discuss it, Mr. Shem. Very good question. So this is Medina de Gemara. Okay? So, it's called Garmi. Some Rishonim say, no, it can't be Garmi. And it's worse than Garmi. A prime example of Garmi is Hasoyev Shtoroso Shechaveroi. If you burn somebody's document entitling to claim back a loan from Shibud Karkois, and now you've burned the document, he won't be able to claim it. So you've caused him a loss of the Choyv. That will be Garmi. But in this case, the actual mud itself was being sold with a chitim. It's much more direct than a normal garmi. So there's the shaila and rishon. The Rosh says, Ichayev misad garmi, and that's one pshat in Rashbam. And we'll see how Tosfos and the Mokeisov learn slightly different. I want to point out a very interesting thing. In Hilchos Garmi, there's a din, we paskan, garmi b'shoigeg is potter. That if somebody does a garmi by mistake, he doesn't realize that he's done the garmi, then he's potter, kabachoma ba'inus. Even though a normal mazik, if a person causes damage directly, yachayev b'shoigeg, but for garmi, because garmi is indirect, you're potter b'shoigeg. What's the din over here? If you have a situation when he's boiret tzuror migarnu shachaveroi, and it was a shoigeg. So l'chayra, according to the Rishonim, that the chiv is garmi, if it happened by mistake, he's not going to be responsible. That means he didn't realize that that's what he was doing. However, it's not so poshut. The Nemoki Yosef says, no, this is not garmi. This is much worse. And he says a very interesting losh. He says, I read you out because it's a fascinating lashon. He says, "Hocha, kiven shehad din noisen she'ein loy lenafoisoi." Since the din is that the seller does not have to sieve off the unwanted material, v'nimka b'mokem chitim, and the mud is sold as if it was chitim, hare shove momen, the mud is worth money, v'ofa Hanimka v'momoin kegoin afrizohovu. It's like gold dust. This mud, which is mixed with the chitin, is like gold dust. It's worth money to the meicher. So by removing it, it's much worse than garmi. V'hezek nikahu afilu man deloy don din de garmi moide b'ha. Even if there's a machlekes in the Gemara whether garmi is chayev or not, we pass in chayev, and there's a whole machlekes of what garmi is. But akoponi we pass in garmi is chayev. But even according to the opinion that garmi is potter, here you'll be chayev because it's like taking gold dust from him. Now, Tosfos says something similar, but he calls it gezel. Hacha, says Tosfos, have a ki'ilu gozal chitin atzmon. It's like stealing wheat. Shehu moichet tzoris l'chol adam k'moy chitin. Because the seller is selling this mud as if it's chitin. And he's allowed to. And this person's gone and taken away his mud. It's very similar to the Mokiesa, but Tosfos calls it gezel. My ha'ara on Tosfos is, he can't mean gezel. Because when is the kinyan of gezela? As soon as he removes the mud, before he's picked it up, the shear of kinyan for a ganav, of tefach v'yitvachim, or the meshich ha'agbar, he's already done the hezek, because it can't be put back now. So the hezek occurs before the ganav's kind of the mud. So he can't be a ganav in that sense of the word. Plus, another cheshvan why he can't be a ganav, is the ganav doesn't want the mud. A ganav is only when he takes something away and the ganav has got it. But if he's taken it away and not got it, then he's not a ganav, he's a mazik. So I think Tosfos means it's be'issa gezel. He doesn't mean the person has the kinyan of being a ganav. He means it's an issa of a gezel. We're going to see soon how it's very relevant to us. Now, there's a big problem with the Rishonim. The Rosh also says, Yichayv midina de garmi. Because who is the man, the Omer in the Gemara here, who says that? If you take the mud out, then you have to pay. Who is it? It's Rabba Barachia Kosra Bishmeidu Rabba. It's in the name of Rabba. Now, Rabba is the one who says, Hasayrev Shtoreza Shechaveroi Potter. So we have a problem with the steer in the Gemara. I haven't seen Rishonim Asis Kasha. But this is a raya that it's worse than a normal garmi. Now, you could learn, it's a raya to the Rishonim who say it's a maisa b'yodayim. But we're going to have to somehow answer the Rishonim who say clearly it's garmi. So maybe it's a worse type of garmi. Maybe in Rabba, who holds garmi as potter, there's some types of garmi that Rabba holds chayiv. Which brings us back to our question, what happens if you do it by mistake? I'm not sure if you do it by mistake, whether lefi the Rishonim is garmi, whether you're going to be potter or not. Even a normal garmi, you're going to be potter. But this is definitely a worse type of garmi. But all the Rishonim agree that you're not allowed to take the mud away from the chitin. So now let's come to modern situations. You come into a shop, and the seller allows the buyer to choose peiros. So let's give an example. There's onions for sale. And the buyer doesn't want the peel on the onions. He wants to take off the peel and just take the inner part. Is he allowed to peel off the outer layer to just take the bit he wants into his bag? For that, there's no minhag of the seller to allow the buyer to do this. The minhag is just he can choose. He can't interfere with the actual produce itself. Or for example, you're buying unwashed potatoes. So you're allowed to choose which potatoes you want. Is he allowed to brush the mud off the potatoes and put it in his bag? Definitely not. Because that's Boyer Tsurim Tilkanu
Shechaveri. The shops do it themselves.
The shop's allowed to do it.
They're doing it for you, but they forgot to do something.
So if they're selling clean potatoes, fine. But if they're selling unwashed potatoes, which is cheaper than washed potatoes, then the reason why the price is like that is because the buyer's going to get some mud. If the buyer chooses not to take this potato and that potato, that's the minhag. You can choose which ones you want. But you can't interfere with the actual product to change it. Or I'll give you a silly example just to bring out the point. Let's say you're selling bananas. You can't peel the banana, take the inside and put it on the scales and buy just that and leave the peel behind. That definitely you can't do. Why? I only want to choose the inner part of the banana. You definitely can't, because the minhag of allowing the buyer to choose is only, you can choose which one. But you can't start interfering with the product and changing it to something which is more valuable to you. That, there was never a minhag to allow. So in the case of onions, we had a bit of a vikuach in Beis HaMedrash by us, whether it's pochus mishala prutza or not. I don't know how much the peel of onions weigh, whether it's pochus mishala prutza or not. But even if it is pochus mishala prutza, for instance, suppose how much you're buying, even if it is pochus mishala prutza, you shouldn't be doing this. It might not be a chi of gomu mitzah hadin, but it's definitely not the right thing to do to start being mazik to someone pochus mishala prutza. And this is mamish boired tsuroi mitzah gamu shachavira, even if you're not buying it. And you, with your self-righteousness, decides too much mud in these potatoes. You start brushing it off. You have to pay the shopkeeper because he was selling the potatoes with mud stuck on. And he was entitled to do so, for example. And the same is with all fruits and vegetables where... So if there's rotten ones mixed up, you don't have to buy them. You can leave them behind. But if you are choosing something, you can't interfere with it to change it. If it's got stalks on and things like that, I'll pull them off. And I'll just buy the thing without the stalks. That is mamish, boyer, tsuroim, tzarkanu, shachavir. And that's also even nowadays where the buyer chooses. So this is the shaila, which I had in Kailo, and I made quite a bit of a tumult, and I want to share with you what it said in the Beis HaMedrash. Imagine you go to a shop, and you're picking out your tomatoes, you put them in your bag, or your trolley, and then after you've put them in the bag, you notice one of them's rotten. You don't want that one. So what do? You take it out and what? Are you allowed to put it back in the box? There's an issa to add rotten peres or peres and tuloim. It's an issa for the moicha and it's an issa for the lekeach. It's an issa for the moicha to add rotten things in. He's not allowed to do that. He's only allowed to have in it what was there before. He's not allowed to add anything which is not the same value. You're not allowed to mix peres tzuroim with peres tzuroim. And the lekeach is over lifnei iver. He's not allowed to put it in for the moicha to sell it to someone else. That's clear halacha. So does that apply nowadays? That's the question. Right, so I'm saying once it's been removed from the box, and you're not paid for it, you decide, I don't want it. So you're not kind of it, right? You're not kind of it. Because you only kind of it later when it comes to the tip. So am I allowed to put it back? By putting it back, what's the problem? Maybe the next lekeach will not see that it's wrong. So, many people tend in kodel, no problem at all, because it's up to the lekeach to choose. And since you know that the next lekeach is going to be vigilant if he cares about what he's buying, so it's not the same as the case of the Gemara of adding peres roim, or like I said, in the olden days where the moicha used to give a bag full of stuff. Here, it's the lekeach who's supposed to be choosing, so it's no problem for the first lekeach to put it back. He can't throw it away, because if he throws it away, he has to pay for it, because he's bought it, right? Yeah, he's not here, he can't throw it away. So what's he supposed to do with it? Right. So if you say he's allowed to put it back, the question was, what happens if, let's say, you're buying apples, and you put them in your bag, and they look fine, and as you turn them over, you suddenly notice one of the apples got a hole in the bottom in the apple. And it's clearly there's a worm or something gone through. And it's not easily noticed, but obviously you don't want that apple. So what do you do with that apple? If you pull that one back, there's a very high possibility that the next lekeach won't notice it. Yeah.
Does it make a difference? Is it roiv koim or roiv yisraim?
I don't want to go into that, into goyim for the moment. I'm sticking with Yiddish grosser and a Yiddish koina. Once you bring goyim into the equation, certain halachas might change. It's a bit complicated. So I'm leaving it. It's a good question. I'm leaving it out for the moment. So you've got this apple with a little hole in it, and very likely the next person, especially if he's in a rush, is not going to notice it. Even if he's a person who's makbid and he's trying to choose, he's not going to notice it. Are you allowed to take that apple and put it back in the box?
You put it back, but the rotten apple is looking towards the customer.
So one younger man's hainut, definitely not. You have to put it with the cucumbers. Because if you put it with the cucumbers, then the next buyer will say, oh, what's this apple doing with the cucumbers? And it won't be a problem. And I said, no, you're not allowed to do that. Because imagine
what the shopkeeper's going to think. I'd like to keep my cucumbers nice and clear for everyone to see, and someone's going to mix apples into it, right? And if everyone starts doing that, it's going to cause chaos in the eyes of the shopkeeper. And that's a mazik of the shopkeeper, that you're causing him a terchah. He's going to have to sort out his cucumbers to take, remove the rotten apples from it, right? So what should you do?
You maybe put it in your hand, you haven't put it back.
So maybe you can put it like upside down or to the side or something like that, so the next person can see. You could maybe give it, if one of the employees of the shop are there, and say, hey, this apple's rotten, and if he's going to throw it in the bin, which he probably will do, no problem. If there's a chashad that the employee will just throw it back in the box, then you're definitely not allowed to give it to the employee of the shop. Because there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, if you're not allowed to give the rotten pay back to a tagor, because he'll go and sell it on, and the oivelif neighbor. So you can't do that. So first of all, the shopkeeper has to train his employees what to do with rotten payers. But besides that, you have a problem what to do with it.
I knew about any of the staff there, but my problem to people there is always...
It is. Because that's halacha Shulchan Aruch. If you know there's a chashash, they'll put it back in, you're oivelif neighbor. Yes, true, but he's still a yid who's not allowed to be makshul and a yid with a mesa. It's a halacha Shulchan Aruch. You can't give a tagor because he might sell it on. It's your business.
I can give anything back to the shopkeeper, but it's yours. I can't give it back because you may put it back on the shelf.
So it depends on the circumstances. Yeah, some things you know, it's not likely. So then you're not able to live. But if it's something that you know, that's what he's probably going to do. Out of date, the next person can see the best before date.
I don't know what you're going to do with it. It's not my problem. I'm giving it back to the shopkeeper. I can't say, okay, I can't give it back to you. I'm going to lose money. I can't give it back to you because it's live neighbor. It's shop. I can't tell you what to do.
But you'd be matching with
him. I can't give anything back.
If you give it to him and say you have to throw it away.
I have to tell him anything. It's not my problem. It's their neighbor.
It is your problem. Because that's the din of Lifneva. Lifneva means you can't give a bottle of wine to another and say it's not my problem, it's his.
I'll give him a refund. I want a refund for something. That's a refund.
Yeah. No, that's the din.
When you create the mishul.
Yes.
You didn't create the mishul.
By giving the rotten peri to somebody who's going to try and sell it, that is the mishul.
Once it's picked up in your hand, you've got a problem.
So that's my problem. That's my problem. Once we can make our problem. So it could be, and it's very misdabber to say, that all this is not a problem at all. Why? And it goes like this. Because the onus is upon the buyer to check. That's the minhag today. Maybe that means that every buyer, if it's up, the whole onus is on him. If he doesn't take the precaution necessary, even if it's something difficult to see, it's his problem. Because that's the minhag today. The whole chiyuv to check is no hoga. And every buyer knows the minhag is that people throw it back into the box. So when you go to buy a box, buy some pears, you know maybe some things have been put back here because no one wanted them, especially it's towards the end of the box. So the onus to be extra vigilant is totally on the buyer. And therefore there's no problem putting anything back in the box. The minhag is to allow it. We find something similar to this in the time of Shulchan Aruch, where water was added to meat to make it white, whatever that means exactly, I'm not sure. But because everybody is aware of it, he's allowed to do it. Because when you buy meat, you know, obviously, water's been added, because that's what everybody does. So here also, you go to buy pears, you know there's going to be rotten pears put back in, because that's what everybody does. So there could be that it's mutter. Could be. Yes.
That's included in his selling price.
Yes, I agree. Yes, I agree. But he's still not allowed to be machshel abaya, but it could be that it's not called being machshel abaya. Now, but this is still very relevant, and I want to bring out the point in a way which shows how much you need to learn Chosh Mishpat. Let's say somebody is employed by the shop to fulfill orders. Okay, so he's working in the back of the shop, and you get an order, please can have 2 kilos of apples. So he goes to the big box at the back. So if he takes the box and he pours it into a bag, he doesn't have to start checking what's rotten, what's good, that's not his job. He takes the produce, puts it in, 2 kilos, sends it off, no problem. But imagine if he does it slightly differently. He's not pouring the box in. He's picking them out one by one and putting them in the bag. And when he picks it up from the box, which is the source, he sees some problem with it. It's rotten or it's wormy or whatever. He's not allowed to put that in the bag because he's separated it from the rest. And he's got to be taught that if he pours the box like this, then no problem giving it to the customer. But if he's taking them out one by one, he has to stop there, and he's not allowed to put that one in the bag for the customer. It's got to be one that the customer wants to buy of that value. So you see how you bring out the point, a slight difference will be a difference if he's a gazlan or mutala chachila. And that's an amazing din, right? And there you see how relevant it is today, even if you're going to say that putting in the box for everyone, it's up to the lekeach to check. But when there's an order behind and the shopkeeper is providing it, it's definitely relevant. I just want to end off with a story I once read about someone sent his child to the butcher to buy some meat, came back, and mother was opening the package and packaging the meat, getting ready to cook it, and found in the meat a hook. A metal hook, which is obviously from the butcher, which had been somehow stuck in the meat and overlooked. So, Shabbos Haveda, she takes the hook out, even though it's a small value, but it has some value. She gave it to her child to take back to the butcher. The butcher says, thank you so much, 1 minute please, puts the hook on the scales, weighs what the hook was, and returns to the child to take home the value of meat according to the weight of the hook. And this book was writing, you see what a tzaddik this butcher is. I don't want to say it's the butcher did the right thing, but he's not a tzaddik, he's just not a ganav. If he wouldn't have done that, he would be a proper ganav. So some things we think is like midas chasidus, but it might be mamish mitzadidin. He's mamish, he charged someone for a hook. There's no heter to charge someone for a hook in meat. And therefore, even if it's a penny or two, is mechuyav mitzadadin to give it back. The Rishon should help us not to be nichshal in any Indian chosh mishpat. Israel tzedek. Yeah, but so if it's something everybody knows, it's a hatter.